A week from today, owners of electric vehicles, including plug-in hybrids, will begin buying road user charges licences. Owners have until the end of May to buy their first RUCs. For an EV that travels the average yearly amount, which is considered 14,000 kilometres, the owner will need to pay $1,064 a year in RUCs. It's on a par with what diesel vehicle users will pay. Plug-in hybrid owners will pay half that amount following a last-minute change of heart by the government. It had been planning to charge hybrids at a rate of $53 per 1,000 kilometres, but last week reduced this to $38 per 1,000 kilometres, an average $532 a year. The decision to bring in the RUCs follows the removal of the clean car discount, and the combination has crippled confidence in the EV market, according to the car sales industry. Just kicked the bucket, has it? Car yards expected a drop-off after people rushed to buy at the end of last year before the discount ended. But Motor Industry Association Chief Executive Amy Wiley says new stock is ordered a year in advance, and demand for EVs that are already on their way to New Zealand has completely dropped off. She's with us first. Morning, Amy.
Morning, Catherine.
So what are you hearing in the market?
It's a difficult time for vehicles, and it's a difficult time for EVs.
Could you be more specific?
Well, interest rates have certainly contributed to a weaker demand for vehicles, but with the removal of the clean car discount and the introduction of road user charges, people were hesitant around electric vehicles.
Could you indicate how much of a drop-off there's been, percentage-wise?
80%.
80% since when? Since late last year?
Since late last year.
Late last year was different because people were rushing to buy before the end of the discount. Did you say 80% on even a year ago?
Yes, because when the clean car discount first came in, we weren't selling many EVs.
Right.
It was a massive demand stimulant, whereas now that it's gone,
right,
we expected a very quiet quarter one, and maybe even some effects into quarter two of this year. But so far, it's the numbers are very low.
They're hardly moving any.
Hardly moving. So what was thousands a month is currently hundreds.
Do you believe it is just the introduction of these new charges and the discount, or do you believe that cost of living pressure is probably the main driver?
So there's two things. One, the cost of living pressure, definitely. I mean, we've got a government that's focused on bringing down inflation, and interest rates are our way to do that. And that's really biting. So overall, all new sales are down. February was our weakest month in 11 years. But added to that, there's some concerns around electric vehicles for a lot of people. So if people who wanted one got in before the rebate was removed, and other people were probably hesitant to consider purchasing one right now.
So what are those other issues? If everyone who was going to buy one did buy one by December 31st, what are the other issues for everyone else?
Well, at the moment I'm hearing that road user charges are a concern, but it's not just that, it's the charging infrastructure, and we're still waiting to hear what's happening with the 10,000 charges coming. But it's range anxiety is a lot less than it was before, but now people who are owning one and have owned one for a couple of years are getting to the time where they're going to trade them in, and they're thinking about their next purchase. And it's about, does it stack up? Is it what the consumer can afford right now? Is it what they want? And I think in terms of stimulating sales of electric vehicles, the consumers need to want to buy one.
Do you think the market's saturated on the demand side then?
Look, change takes time. And globally, this change to electric vehicles has been pushed at an urgent pace because of climate. But consumers are hesitant now. We've had an uptake. On a global basis, we're seeing this. It's the same hesitation that we're seeing in New Zealand, and it takes time.
Are orders being cancelled?
I think people are adjusting their forecasts, and I wouldn't say orders are cancelled, but I would say that there'll be people ordering vehicles, distributors and importers. They'll be trying to order what they think consumers are going to buy.
So they're lowering their forward orders.
I would think so.
And will there be stock on the water now that will likely sit in sales yards for a time?
Yes.
Okay. Is it the pure EV market, hybrids or both?
Pure EV market's hit the
Especially.
Hardest at the moment. Mm. Yeah, we're still seeing a strong demand for hybrids. And that makes sense because consumers have got the comfort of knowing it's got a traditional petrol engine, but it goes a lot further. Hybrids are a lot more fuel efficient. and it's a lower emission choice. It's just not the lowest emission choice.
What's the best price pure EV that people can pick up fresh off the sales yard?
About 40,000.
Okay. And the second-hand market in pure EVs, how is it tracking?
Well, that's interesting because EVs have been around for a few years now and we're starting to see people that bought the very first, this is excluding Nissan Leafs, for example, but the very first out of the more broad offering, they're considering trading them in now. And this is it's a new used market coming through. And there's hesitations. People are trying to figure out their way forward. What is it worth? Who wants to buy it? What's the battery health like? It's a new time from.
So, are you saying those who are looking to trade up, the first gen looking to trade up, are wary of buying another new electric, or is it more that people are wary of buying a used electric?
That's what I'm hearing. People are wary of buying a used electric.
What sort of price would they go for?
I'm unsure of that.
Mm.
That information is not readily available.
And see, everything you're saying suggests that this market still needs help to grow.
It absolutely needs help. It needs help to grow.
What difference would it make if those RUCs had been delayed until the share of the vehicle fleet was larger, the EV share?
It would have been good. It would have been better. But, I mean, we've got a government that it's got a massive roading budget hole they need to fill, and we've got an uptake of 2% of the fleet. Our government was very, very clear that as soon as we got to a 2%, the goal was never to get to a 20% like some other jurisdictions.
Is 2% too low?
I believe so, yes.
Because you need a critical mass, particularly for a reliable second-hand market.
You do.
And you've not got that yet.
No, we haven't got that yet.
Okay. You went to select committee. And you had some wins, did you not? Well, first of all, you asked for a road user charge of $60 for EVs at Select Committee. $60 per annum or
$60 per 1,000 kilometres.
What would that have come out at per annum on average?
I think that was somewhere around the $600 or
$700
mark.
So about two-thirds of where it ended up. What was that based on, that $60 figure?
So that was based on a petrol equivalent. So
right. We've
taken the last 2 years of new petrol and hybrid sales and calculated what the equivalent contribution through fuel excises, and that's coming out around $60, $61.
So you're saying the EVs are going to end up paying more?
Yes. Yes.
How did the government reach its figure?
I'm unsure.
Okay, so they didn't put any numbers out around this, saying this is what this is based on.
The case we made was let's not benchmark introducing electric vehicles to an old road user charging system that was benchmarked to diesels. We said, why don't we benchmark it to petrols instead?
Okay, so it was benchmarked to diesels.
The current diesel
right. Road
user charge rate is $76. But the average contribution to fuel excise from a petrol vehicle is 60.
Diesels are often commercials, aren't they? The commercial fleets. Yeah.
Yes, all very large SUVs.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You had someone in the end, perhaps by accident, with the plug-in hybrids. They've lowered that. What do you make of where they landed on that price, which is half the pure EV?
Yeah, I think that's an outstanding outcome for anybody who owns a plug-in hybrid vehicle today.
Right.
They are already paying fuel excise duty, and if we have a look at the fleet composition, there's a lot of used plug-in hybrids. They're not all new. And battery life is a determining factor. There are people out there who legitimately were concerned about needing to pay road user charges because they're predominantly running on petrol now because their battery life is low. So I think this is an excellent outcome for a situation where road user charges are coming in.
So they got it right in one case and wrong in the other case, in your view?
Yeah.
Okay. There are other ways to incentivise EVs. Actually, let's talk about the banks. We were talking about this last week. They will offer some fairly competitive interest rates for people buying, say, a new pure electric vehicle. Although, as people pointed out, it still goes on the mortgage, probably. And if you haven't paid it off in 5 years, that discounted rate disappears, correct? What do you make of that? Are the banks doing the best they can?
I know last year there was quite a few different green finance options available for people considering an electric vehicle, and that they were attractive offerings. But I think if we boil it down, consumers are concerned about debt right now and the underlying economic situation in New Zealand. interest rates, everybody's feeling the pain. Cost of living crisis, I think it's fair to say that's having an impact. And then add to that, people who are buying a vehicle are making decisions around what's the total cost of that vehicle going to be. And unfortunately for EVs at the moment, loss of the rebate, unless the prices have been dropped, which not everybody has, but they cost more. Now with the introduction of road user charges, they're going to cost more to operate. And the compounded by what's it going to be worth in 3 years' time and some unknowns around that.
Yeah, I guess in a moment it's going to tell us, I think, that use costs have probably doubled with the introduction of the RUCs. Is that correct? Right. OK, we'll come and work through that with you in a moment. Thanks, Emery. Is there a risk that some firms that have heavily invested in the sale of EVs are going to run into real trouble this year?
Yeah, there's a risk. There is a risk. I think many of them will be trying to have as diversified portfolio as possible.
So are most combining EV sales with combustion engine sales?
Because ultimately, if you want to stay a viable business, you have to meet the market. You've got to have a product lineup of what the consumer is currently demanding.
What else could the government do to assist in incentivising the growth in critical mass of EVs if it wants to take these road user charges? And it does. What else could it do to incentivise?
Look, there's lots of things that the government could do in terms of alternative incentives, and I'm not talking a clean car discount version 2. I'm talking what things can we do that don't cost a lot of money that could make an electric vehicle a more attractive option for somebody. And that could be free parking for EVs. It could be use of bus lanes in some cities, not all. That probably won't help
that
Auckland.
That can get complicated.
It can get complicated.
And of course it's councils who take the parking fees. So,
yeah, but right. It could also be, let's think about who are still buying the largest number of new vehicles in New Zealand, and that's businesses, that's fleets, that's the rental vehicle associations. And what would make the difference for them? Well, probably accelerated depreciation or instant tax write-off like in Australia. FBT,
Fringe benefit tax
changes or exemptions would be great. I know Julianne Genta has a bill that's coming up to Parliament on a 5-year fringe benefit tax exemption on EVs. That's just about to come through. It was pulled from the ballot, and that's a really exciting initiative because for some small businesses, that would make a massive difference to wanting to invest in an EV.
Is fleet conversion still going to be the most effective way of getting to a second-hand market? I hear what you're saying about hesitancy people have with second-hand at the moment. But again, you need plenty out there, plenty to choose from, some price competition, and more people taking it up to build confidence, right? Is fleet conversion still the best way to get to cost-competitive second-hand vehicles?
Yes. But we also have the benefit of that on a global front too. So in a couple of years' time, because we've been buying used vehicles from other jurisdictions for a long time, we will get access to used vehicles from other countries in time. But in New Zealand new used market, there's a lot we could do to stimulate that.
On the question of the charging infrastructure, is range anxiety a psychological phenomenon, or is it absolutely real? Say at Easter, when all of you are driving to Coromandel, who've got your EVs, or all of you are driving to, I'm trying to think of some other sort of pinch points, others have talked about Tauranga or wherever, are we going to end up with queues and pinch points because the infrastructure's not there?
It's possible. It's possible because when we think about the installation of charging infrastructure, if it's a third party, it needs to be commercially viable. And a lot of our holiday destinations, places we choose to go in summer or winter, don't have a solid base of people needing to charge them when we're not on holiday.
Motueka, if you go to Kaitere or whatever, Queenstown's an interesting one, but there's some obvious places to put infrastructure, but they get crushed at peak times. And so the third party, are we currently doing it with a third party, the main installer? How is it working, the rollout of infrastructure?
Well, today we have chargers out there from ChargeNet, from Z Energy, from BP. There's a whole raft. And
but is it kind of ad hoc?
Definitely. It is ad hoc. And it needs
and
to
they put them
stack up
where they
initially
think the greatest use is going to be, or for some other strategic reason, not necessarily where the logical north to south, east to west spine is.
I'm not an expert in this, but my understanding is they will try and put it where it's the greatest use will be, but also where there is capacity, electrical capacity.
Right.
Okay. From the grid.
What do you think needs to happen now, Amy, if this is not going to falter or worse, go backwards?
I think we need to make it an attractive offering for consumers. I think we need to explain why it's important for us to transition to lower emission vehicles, and we've got to make it financially viable. And there's some considerable challenges associated with that.
We talked about the pure EVs. Are the hybrids still selling at a fairly consistent rate? Okay, it's the pure EVs that have really hit a wall.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
And that could be because of the price points. Pure EVs cost more.
Yeah.
To buy.
It also's got that backup of petrol that people have in their minds all the time.
Yes,
but like having a spare in the car, in the boot.
Yes, that's correct. But they're also, they have the benefit of a cheaper technology. Battery electric is still a premium price point. We're not at parity yet, and it comes at a higher price point.
Okay, thank you. Amy Wiley's Motor Industry Association Chief Executive. Emery Feilinger is one of the co-founders of Road Trip, which is an app that helps users work out how much petrol they'll need while travelling around New Zealand. He and business partner Ben Robertson have now set up a website that aims to help EV and plug-in hybrid users work out how much they'll have to pay in road user charges. They've also calculated that once the charges kick in from April, journeys for EV owners will nearly double in price. Emery, good morning. How did you get to that?
Yeah, so it was quite an interesting discovery because we started working on the What the Ruck site when the initial changes were announced earlier this year that RUCs would go in for EVs and hybrids in April 1st. We quickly put together a proof of concept, shared it with some people, and they were like, this is awesome, you should put it out there. Because we just saw that there was a lot of confusion around people who owned hybrids, people who owned plug-in hybrids. Am I going to get a RUC? Am I not? So we just wanted to basically create a really simple website where you type in your license plate and it shows you roughly how much you'll pay per year depending on how much you drive.
So you're a pure EV owner. Give me a case study.
Yeah, sure. So I just put in my license plate on the website. So I've just got a Tesla here and it's $1,064 for 14,000 kilometers of driving. Same exactly as diesel, but then for hybrids, as the government's just changed, that'll be about half, so about $500.
Okay. So if you are a hybrid owner, just give me again a case study.
So for plug-in hybrids, yeah, it's about $530 odd, but for regular hybrids, there's no road user charges.
Right. But for your, what do you mean for regular hybrids?
Well, so there's plug-in hybrids.
Oh, okay. Understood. Thank you. Yeah. There's actually three tiers.
Which is why it's so confusing,
there's
right?
There's three tiers we're talking about here, aren't there? Yeah. A plug-in hybrid, you are charging some of the time, but you're also using fuel.
Yeah.
Okay. So what will your app add to the average that's given here? It'll take how far you travel, will it?
Yeah, so what the RUC is simply to be able to see exactly how much you'll pay in RUCs per year.
I see.
And then Road Trip, we've actually seen a lot of people start using Road Trip more for their EV journeys because of What the RUC.
So what I'm getting at is, are you adapting the app so that you could get a RUC figure based on your actual usage?
Yeah, precisely. So
okay.
I actually did a calculation. I'm going to see my parents in Hawke's Bay this weekend, and I did a calculation based on a Tesla. And it was $21 to drive there in pure electricity cost. So that's if you plug in at home, you're paying 35 cents per kilowatt hour at home, which is a pretty rough average rate in New Zealand. You drive all the way there because a Tesla would be able to get you there in one charge. You'd be paying about $21 in electricity. The actual road user charges on top of that, what you can see in our app Road Trip, is $25. So it's actually more in road user charges to drive to Hawke's Bay, for example, than the actual electricity. So it essentially more than doubles the cost of driving.
Doubles the cost. And to Amy's point earlier, how would that compare with a petrol car's cost?
Yeah, so actually, depending on the car that you have, petrol can actually be cheaper now than EVs, which
Well, let's talk about the different kinds of cars, because this is the thing, the bigger car normally would be a gas guzzler and you'd pay more in road user charges, but the bigger car in the case of the Tesla can get further on one charge. So if you were doing that trip in a Leaf, would you be paying more again?
You could potentially be, because obviously the chargers along your route are going to be more expensive than your at-home electricity. So they're about 70s.
So it's not actually a per kilometre charge, is it? It's a how far you can get till you have to charge again charge.
Yeah, somewhat, I guess. In terms of pure EV ownership, regardless of the RUCs,
yeah,
you are paying more if you don't have a bigger battery, for sure.
All right. What are people doing and using the app up till now? What's the uptake been like, and how are people using it?
The uptake for road trips has been awesome, and we have had almost 200,000 Kiwis now download the app, which is really exciting for us. And we're actually growing more globally now. So CMA, so essentially the Commerce Commission in the UK, actually emailed us because they wanted us to bring the app to the UK. They saw a real demand for being able to see that. And they've also just implemented a scheme in the UK, similar to what they've done in Australia, where they essentially make all the petrol companies list their prices online. So that means that people like us, app builders, can create apps that help consumers shop around for their petrol. And they wanted us to bring that to the UK. And we've just released that earlier this year.
It's also showing in real time some of the anomalies of what the government's just introduced.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's definitely great that they walked back the hybrid charge, because that was definitely the thing that was the most, I think, unfair, for sure. I think bringing that down to half of what pure EVs is a good move.
Because they're also paying petrol tax.
Exactly.
But in the case of the EV, is it fair that you could potentially end up paying more than you would pay if you were in a petrol vehicle? Is that how do we decide what fair is anymore?
Yeah, exactly.
Because there's been this perception that you're wanting to encourage a transition, and now this looks like it could be leaning the other way.
Yeah, I think so. I think that we definitely will, if we want EVs to be a greater thing, we do need to do more to incentivize them. I take the point that we're at 2% and previous governments have agreed on that figure of putting in road user charges. But I think, to Amy's point, I think basing it on diesel is probably not the best move. And if the government wants to move road user charges to the entire fleet, so including petrol, which seems like they're signaling, I think there's going to have to be a lot of a rethink of the whole road user charges scheme, especially with, you know, 75-80% of people driving petrol cars. You're going to need a much bigger system for people being able to manage their road user charges, because it's going to be mental.
How so?
I think it's just, you know, a lot of people aren't used to paying road user charges because they own petrol cars or EVs. And, you know, that you see the government now trying to, you know, market out to people, hey, you have to pay your road user charges for EVs, and people are already confused. Imagine the confusion when, you know, 80% of people who drive petrol cars are going to have to start paying road user charges.
And that has been signaled or indicated how?
It has been signaled. I think that they've been talking about it quite a bit. There's no timelines or anything, but they've definitely signaled that they want to move all vehicles to road user charges.
Instead of petrol taxes,
yep.
Or as well as?
Instead
of? From what you're learning from real-time doing examples across the vehicle classes here, what would it take to get that right? Whatever right is.
I mean, I'm no expert. I think it would be a real calculation that you'd have to do. And I think it would be beneficial to look at some other countries where they're maybe a couple years ahead of us in terms of EV adoption, like the UK. I think one interesting thing that the UK is doing that's not very popular is actually carrot and a stick. They're using more of a stick in terms of they have zones within bigger cities where you actually are charged to drive a petrol or higher emission vehicle in the city. So that is something that...
You see, that's what's missing here, is any kind of incentive to move from gas guzzling to what might be perceived as the public good of a lower emissions vehicle. If you're just purely charging on road user charges without taking into account quality of the vehicle...
Mm. Yeah, I think so. I think that I guess what they're trying to appeal to is the fact that it's a fairer system about driving. You know, if you drive 1,000 kilometres, you pay the same as somebody else who drives 1,000
kilometres. But it's not exactly incentivising fleet change.
No, it's not. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting discussion. Thanks very much. All the best with the app and the interest you have, Emery. Thank you, Emery Feilinger there, who is with Road Trip. And thanks also to Amy Wiley earlier of the Motor Industry Association.